Happy Monday, Bucks fans. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes writing on the website, one of the founders of the website. We appreciate all your support on JoeBucksFan.com. And the podcast, which is here every Monday, Monday Morning Joe, is presented by Discount Garage Doors, DGDoors.com, Discount Garage Doors. The name is self-explanatory there. And Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford does so much in the community, so many great things. They had a wonderful benefit yesterday for the Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and it was a watch party right at One Buck Place. So they sort of took over One Buck inside and out. The auditorium, which maybe you've seen on Hard Knocks, as well as the cafeteria, which you probably haven't seen on Hard Knocks. And it was a big event, all to benefit All Children's Hospital. And I was there. Lee DeCamper was there from Joe Bucks Fan. And I don't think I've ever watched a game at One Buck, which is a unique situation. But it was great to get all sorts of money raised for charity through Bill Curry. And it's a neat experience just because those chairs, I got to paint a picture here for you. The chairs in the auditorium at One Buck Palace are for 350-pound men. That's how they were designed. So these are big leather chairs with, you know, like an old-school fold-in or sweep-around desk that you can access if you're taking notes or whatever. And the chair is gigantic, and it's comfortable. It goes back, and the big screen is maybe 10 feet tall kind of thing, 20 feet wide in that ballpark. Wow. So what a great way to watch a game. My couch will never feel the same, but a lot of fun and was glad to do it. Mike Allstott was there and got a chance to talk to him. I think he thinks I'm somebody else. Like, he knows who I am, but you ever get that feeling where you think somebody thinks you're somebody else? So I did get to talk a little Bucks with him and was actually near him toward the end of halftime. And while I'm not going to sit here and report what he was saying, because that wouldn't be kosher, man, there are a lot of ex-Bucks out there today just in disbelief by the effort and the results that this team is getting now. It's not fathomable on any level, whether you're a fan, whether you're an ex-player, especially if you're an ex-player who was part of greatness. It's just unbelievable. And for anybody who thinks that was sort of a close game yesterday, oh, the Bucks came all the way back and almost all the way back, and it was a two-score game. Come on, man. That's just stupid talk. Imagine how the Bucks have played with big leads before. Last year against Chicago, for example, when they jumped out to a big lead and then kind of sat on it and cruised. And, you know, Carolina played a lot different with that lead. Even go back to Carolina on 4th-and-1. From late in the fourth quarter, I believe. 4th-and-1, they're up by a couple of scores, or very late third quarter. And then they got a penalty, 4th-and-6. They didn't try a field goal. They've got the best field goal kicker, arguably, in the game. You know, if that's a tight game, they probably go for a field goal. They were toying with the Bucks on many levels. That was when they did fail on 4th-and-6. Carlton Davis made the stop, and then he got called for the 15-yard taunting penalty. Because, hey, if you're not dancing on the sidelines, you might as well be taunting on the field and get a penalty. The Bucks are a train wreck. Anytime you let up 35 points in the first half, something is very, very, very wrong. I don't care why. It doesn't matter. This isn't just bad luck run amok with this Buccaneers franchise. Now, I've written on the website today, last night, whatever. I'm done with Dirk Koetter as the head coach of this team. I'm really not afraid to say it. Now, I wouldn't fire him now, but I'm done from an organizational perspective. So what the hell does that mean? Does that sound like me being afraid to say, get this guy out of town? No, but I really don't feel that way, so I'm not going to say it. But in 56 days, that's Black Monday around the NFL. They're going to be coaches fired and hired, and you need to be ready for that day. And not just ready to start searching for a coach, you need to be ready to almost hire a coach and to schedule all your interviews immediately and have your private jets fired up to get guys in here and have your own plan to present and all the things that you need to do to make sure you can get the next, the best head coach available next for this team. So Team Glazer, the Glazers, no matter what they think of Dirk, no matter how much they're rooting for Dirk to go 7-1 somehow and pull off a miracle here to close the season, which is not going to happen. I wish it would. I'll be cheering for it, but come on. Come on. The defense is brutal, and there's no cavalry coming, as Dirk Cutter says. Nobody's out there. The trading deadline's gone. I mean, they can't tackle. They got one interception. I believe the NFL record for fewest in a season is 3. The modern record in the last 20 years is 4 by the Lions, and they went winless. They're down their best linebacker. We've learned that Adarius Taylor, and it's not his fault, is just a backup filling space, not a special player, not a guy on the rise. The pass rush is inconsistent. They got, you all know that I'm not even going to bore anybody with the mess that the defense is. They've already fired the defensive coordinator. Overall, it's gotten a little better, but not much. And it's embarrassing. The tackling is supposed to be good mid-season. The Bucs have already had a bye week. The tackling is supposed to be really good. You're supposed to be fresh, and you got all the light preseason. When I say light, I mean in preseason and in training camps, guys don't tackle like they used to. Derek Brooks talks about this a lot, that it takes at least a few games to get your tackling down because you're not hitting left and right in 2 days and all that. But week 9 of the regular season, after you've had a bye, you should be a sharp tackling team. Every team should be a good tackler. This is pitiful tackling. Carlton Davis, come on, man. You know, you get leapfrogged, and then you come back on the next play and miss a tackle. You know, you're the young legs out there. Yeah, it's just bad. It's bad. But on the coaching front, there's nothing's going to save Dirk Cutter. There is nothing going to save Dirk Cutter outside of a miracle. And I'm trying to bully your focus into the next head coach, because that's really where it belongs. You know, we'll watch the games. We'll enjoy them. We will celebrate the highs. We'll get excited about guys coming back, and maybe guys can take some leaps, and maybe the rookies can flash and look like they have a shot to be guys who take big leaps in their second year. But Cutter's done. He's pushing all the wrong buttons. And I said it before on this podcast, 3-5 in his first year, 2-6 in his second year, 3-5 in his third year. That's the first half for Dirk Cutter in each year. That's not a coincidence. That's deplorable. And it's a systemic problem that there's no reason to think, oh, he'll fix it next year. Why? He couldn't fix it this year with more talent. And there's more talent on the roster than there was back in 2015. It's in 2016, excuse me. And it's just unfortunate. But Cutter is done. But you know what? The team, I would be stunned if they fire him mid-season. And the Bucs might make a little run here. It's possible, right? They could beat Washington. Washington's not great, but they're good. But you never know. The Bucs have played a little better at home defensively. So it's possible. It's possible the Bucs scratch their way to 6-6. It's possible, but they're going nowhere. And I certainly wouldn't bet on that at all, because it's getting worse. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, at best, he's a 500 quarterback. And everything sort of evens out in a lot of ways. Look at Mike Evans. He was catching balls at a 73% target rate of the balls thrown his way. He was catching. I wrote, you know, that was probably going to even out. It's just so hard to keep that going. And they had one of their days where they forced the ball to Evans yesterday, and he catches 1 out of 10. And Cutter even sort of targeted him one more time today and said he had the worst game that he's had since he's been here. And we all saw the drop that he had on third down, and just not his day. Still, who's next at head coach, and how do they proceed from here? That is really the situation right now. And of course, who's going to go from this roster? Guys are playing for jobs, and they should be. They really should be. And Team Glazer needs to craft a plan here, and I want to talk about that. First, I want to tell you, any issue you have with your garage door, You can call Discount Garage Doors 24/7. The phone number is 1-866-420-DOOR. 866-420-DOOR. They will come to your home, often the same day, if you want them there the same day, for a diagnosis, and it's all free. They will come out and diagnose everything. They can fix it with their trained, licensed technician, or they can show you an array of new doors, great deals, there's financing, Discount Garage Doors, which means their prices will not be beaten. And it's an amazing local Florida company. Several listeners on the podcast and readers of Joe Bucks Fan have used their service, and I've gotten no complaints, and I know it's fantastic. I've talked to these guys. I've gotten to know these guys. I watched a Bucks game with these guys last year. Discount Garage Doors. It's great to work with a local company, not a national company. They service 18 counties across Florida, and they really are out to be the best, and that's exciting. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. Mention Joe Bucks Fan, you're going to get 10% off if you purchase any services. So Discount Garage Doors, same day free service call. Get it done there at dgdoors.com. So what do the Glazers do, right? What do they do now? Because you figure, logically, they probably get together at the halfway point of each season and discuss, all right, what's the state of the team? We're at the halfway point. What can we? How do we grade everybody? How do we assess things? It wouldn't even shock me if they get a midterm report card delivered to them by Jason Light, the general manager. I mean, that's just simple, common, good business, right? You assess the team at different points, maybe at each quarter, and you proceed accordingly. So, you know, we talk about Team Glazer a lot, which is my nickname I threw on them a while ago, years ago. And Team Glazer is Ed Glazer, Brian Glazer, who lives locally, and Joel Glazer. And they figure out a way to make decisions in a unified way, even if it's 2-1. When they discuss something initially, I've been told from the Glazers, because as you probably know, I meet with them at the NFL owners meetings and have on several occasions, they find a way to make their decisions. And, you know, they're pretty consistent with it. And they don't, you know, they've told me now we don't really have the squabbles you would think. Now, I personally, I know my siblings, I can't imagine us all agreeing on stuff. We rarely do, but still, that's how it goes down. So Team Glazer, if they're smart, they basically tell Jason Light that, hey, we're ditching the coach. We've made the decision, barring a radical turnaround, and we have to proceed as accordingly. And you have Light on staff. If you trust him, if you don't trust him, you should fire him. But if you do trust him, and I think they do, then you have him out there helping spearhead part of the search. Get reports from him, have him tap his contacts and all that stuff. And I think on the flip side, you hire somebody to proceed independent of Light, to get a different perspective and to tap your own ownership contacts and proceed that way. And I think you sort of put the two together and you reconvene in 4 weeks to get a sense of how you're going to target the coaching search and the type of candidate that you want. Some issues on the roster might become more clear, and as well as draft position. And you craft a plan. That really is what has to be done right now, and I hope they're doing it. I believe they are. Frankly, the Glazers have more experience with this than anybody I know and anybody you probably know, because they've been turning over coaches, you know, like pancakes since 2008. Made a decision to ditch Chucky, Raheem. You know, that went south, and they didn't want to get rid of Raheem. They liked him and they respected him. He did a hell of a job in 2010, starting 10 rookies. 10 rookies made starts in that season. It's still mind-boggling. And you love Ishiano, the whole mess. So you know how this goes. The Glazers know how this goes. And I just hope there's extreme preparation. There's a lot of chatter out there. Sign a president, a football operations director, that sort of thing. You know, I don't think that's a perfect answer. I really don't. Doesn't mean it's a bad idea. But another layer of oversight is not a cure-all for a franchise. Otherwise, they would all do it. And I'll just take Dungy as an example. Dungy, if you remember, his big referral for Team Glazer was Chip Kelly. after they got rid of Raheem Morris. That was the referral. The Bucks chased Chip Kelly. There was a report that they had an agreement with Chip Kelly, and Dungy's ties to Kelly went back to his son playing at Oregon. And Dungy spent time out there with his son and got hands-on with the program and watching Kelly and thought Kelly was the right fit and the right guy for the Glazers. Well, Kelly turned out to be a bit of a train wreck. He had success early, very quickly, and his scheme and his attitude and whatever, you know, they won in Philly quickly, a couple of 10-6 seasons, I think. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that was the case. But it imploded, and then it didn't work in San Francisco, and he's probably out of the league. So that would have been Dungy's guy. Doesn't mean that just because he made a mistake means you don't get a president of football operations. But, you know, Tom Coughlin, phenomenal job last year. Now he's overseeing an implosion. So, there is no perfect science with the NFL. There are other examples. Look at the teams in the NFC South. I mean, they all do it a little bit of a different way. I mean, heck, the Panthers had an ownership change, brought back their old general manager, and have found a way to do it. And they look at them, they're 6-2 and they're a complete football team. Complete football team. And I must say, if anybody listened to me on who to bet on this year with the over, you needed 9 wins as a season bet to cash in with the Panthers. Told everybody I was doing it and that was the best bet. And here we are. So looking pretty good. If you're with me, we'll celebrate that 9th victory hopefully later this season by the Panthers. And then I hope they lose the rest of their games and don't make the playoffs because I hate them, but I did bet on them. So there. But you look at Atlanta, right? They brought in, they had Dimitroff there, but they also brought in Scott Pioli as sort of like a, not a co-general manager, but a personnel guy who had been a general manager, and he's right in the thick of things. Now, Rich McCabe is not on the football side of decisions, but it doesn't mean they don't run things past him. But he's not a football overlord. He's on the business side and was there helping get the stadium built in Atlanta, the new stadium, and he oversees the operation, which now includes the soccer team, and there's a lot going on with Rich McKay, but it's not really on the football side, on the field per se. But there's a lot of ways to do it. And, you know, they don't have a big director of football operations in New Orleans. Of course, some of these situations are clouded by the success of the quarterback, because if you have a franchise quarterback, all of a sudden everybody looks much better than they really are. And here we are back to the Bucks, who have now mailed it in on Jameis Winston. That's the reality. Not starting him this week after Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think Justin Pawlowski on Bucks Uncensored said it very well. Fitzpatrick basically played the game that Jameis did in Atlanta yesterday. And it's not getting him pulled, which the whole thing to me doesn't make a lot of sense at this point. Fitzpatrick, you're looking for a miracle that's probably not there. And you don't even know if he's coming back next year. So you're going to give him all these reps without even knowing if you want him on your team or he even wants to play football, which is really my point there. And Jameis is there. He's healthy. You can't run around scared that he breaks his ankle and you lose $21 million. The Bucks have flushed away so much money on players over the years. What's $21 million to gamble a little more in the off chance that Jameis has a serious injury this year? You can see more of what you got. Maybe Jameis turns it around. Maybe he implodes. Maybe he plays reasonably well, not enough to inspire you, but enough to get a trade in the offseason. Maybe somebody gives you a 3rd and 4th round pick for Jameis Winston. I don't know. Maybe he plays well enough where a new coach says, I'll give him a shot if you let me draft a quarterback in the 1st round. We're picking number 13 or whatever, wherever the Bucks end up. We're picking number 10 in the draft. I want to pick a quarterback. This is the guy I want to target, or I want this guy in the 2nd round, or I want to make sure I get this guy's late 1st. We'll trade down, but I'll give Jameis a shot and let the two of them compete. There's a lot of ways to do this. But Jameis Winston on the bench isn't going to help anybody except for Team Glazer's wallet. and protecting that $21 million, which, you know, there's no guarantee he's going to get hurt. And the Bucks, it's not like they have a train wreck offensive line. I know a lot of you think the O-line sucks, but Jameis would not be playing behind some garbage O-line. These guys have proven to be solid pass blockers. Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick got hit. Part of that's a little bit on the offense and the way it's designed. Part of that is Donovan Smith screwing up a few times and whatever. But I'm not scared of Jameis playing. But I think if they're going to make an organizational decision to have him be the backup, if you're willing to expose him as the backup, which is what he was yesterday, if Fitzpatrick pulled a calf muscle running, Jameis was going in there. He was the backup yesterday. That means you're exposing him. You're willing to play him again and expose that risk of $21 million. If you're willing to expose him and play him, then put him in the damn game. No matter how you want to argue it, if you think he's worse than Fitzpatrick, it's surely not highly measurable overall. I'm not talking one game here and there. I don't know. I just hope Jameis gets in going forward, because I'd like to see how he responds, and I'd like to see how his teammates respond. And I think the organization would want to know. And I think a new coach would want to know. You know, this is a test of Jameis's leadership. Josh Freeman, when he was benched, the guy imploded. He demanded to get out. He got himself cut. He could have easily hung out and said, hey, I'll be the good backup. I'll back up Glennon. I'm a team guy. No, he went mental, got himself cut, and cashed in by double dipping with the Minnesota Vikings. So good for him. But, you know, this is a test for Jameis. And I think any coach or new GM potentially would look at that and say, hey, how did he handle being benched? Man, Jameis handled it with class. He got back in. He was focused. He was ready. Yeah, he's got some issues, but we can fix him. And if he's willing to handle that kind of setback, well, maybe he's the guy for us. I don't know. I'm rooting for the Bucks here. I'm not rooting for Jameis. I'm not rooting for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm rooting for all of them. And for the Glazers to make the right move. Because the moves here are not really about football that much. It's really not. Because when you're going to blow out your head coach, which is what's going to happen, then all the stuff goes out the window anyway. The roster is going to turn over 50%. They got a lot of decisions to make. Most likely there are new schemes coming in here. So I'm not really that concerned about the football right now, at least today, after a painful loss like that. And, you know, these podcasts for us here on Joe Bucks Fan, I think everybody who hosts podcasts and is part of them, the Ira Kaufman podcast, me, Lee, and Ira, the commish, Justin Pulaski, Bobby Fenton, who's Free Stretch podcast continues to grow in popularity. He's presented by Bill Curry Ford as well, and even Tom Lang on the Joe Bolts Fan podcast. We're passionate fans. We're passionate supporters. We want what's best for the team, and that's why this is so painful, and that's why you're listening, because you just care that much to listen to me go on here. Now, about that game yesterday, man, boy. It's this is a weird football team on so many levels, so many weapons, yet they don't have a good rhythm. They struggle to consistently come out strong. They forced us all to forget what good defense looks like. You know, it comes up in spurts. Sure, they have a few stops and you start to think of things, but good defense is playing good defense through a game and holding a team to field goals. And, you know, all the stuff that we just aren't used to watching. You know, holding a team to 19 points. Guys making individual plays. Not freelancing, but just making plays because they're where they're supposed to be. And you know what? The time comes to make a play. The one turnover, the one interception, and one turnover in the last, or excuse me, no turnovers in the last five games, which I believe is a franchise record. It's indicative of what's going on here. There's just a lack of aggression, a lack of talent, and a lack of just want to that it speaks to. Cam Newton threw for 76% yesterday against the Bucks. Now, everybody throws for a good percentage against the Bucks, but I believe, I had looked it up yesterday, I think in all the games he's played since coming into the league in 2011, Cam Newton, who's not known for being Mr. Accurate Passer, that was his fifth best day of his career, accuracy-wise, percentage-wise. And go figure, one of the other ones was against the Bucs. You know, there's just so much missing, I don't even know what to say. And it shouldn't be this bad for anybody. So I feel your pain today. It is a hard, hard day. You know, I can't wait to get to, I'm not wishing away the season because we all ache for it to show up every year so we can watch football and all the stuff you love about the game. But I'm really looking forward to the excitement of what's next because the Bucs have put us in this position. I mean, Dirk Koetter, you're calling a punt. You'll tell anybody who will listen that you've got explosive weapons out the ass. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jameis and guys you trust at quarterback. Quarterbacks who can get them the ball. You move the football 2 years in a row. And you basically wave a white flag by a desperation punt, fake punt from your 26-yard line. On 4th and 7, not 4th and 2 or 4th and 3, 4th and 7. And it's not even like, it doesn't even have an option component to it, mostly because you're looking at 4th and 7. I mean, what are you doing? Did you really think you couldn't put up 40 points at that point? You know, you still weren't out of the game. It was just mind-boggling to do that in the second quarter when you know that you can put up 40 points. That's what was killing me about it. What, right? The Bucs were down 28-7 at that point. So Koetter had to at least be thinking logically that, hey, you know what? We can score 40. We've done this before. We got plenty of time to do that. We'll get it right. But you're shooting yourself in the foot. That was just another desperation call. And I wrote this on Joe Bucs Fan last night, Sunday night. And, you know, I'm watching the games. I go back, use the NFL Game Pass and the film looks, the All 22 aren't out yet, but on Sunday night, you can go back and watch the games, condensed games, full games, all the games, TV copies, whatever. So I go back to watch Seattle and the Chargers. I'm an NFL junkie. Forgive me. That's just what I do. Saturdays, if I'm diving into football on Saturday, I'm diving into NFL games. That's what I'm doing. Watching games that I missed, watching condensed games, looking at stuff. Well, that's just how I roll, and I'm not going to apologize for not watching much college football. And so I go back, I'm watching Seattle and the Chargers. Well, there goes Russell Wilson. He's moving the ball late. They're down by 8. He's moving the ball. They get the ball to the 20-yard line, and you know, it's 4th down. And there's about 10 seconds left. The clock's ticking down. Wilson takes a shot. There was like 14 seconds left or whatever. They snap the ball, and he throws it to the end zone. They get a penalty, 1st and goal, on the 1-yard line with no time left. You know, final play. Now, the Bucs, 3 freaking weeks ago, they're on the 20-yard line, and Dirk Koetter's telling everybody, oh, there's no play in the playbook for no good play for the ball at the 20-yard line, and he got one play left, 7 seconds. It was the same scenario. And there goes Russell Wilson, walks up, no problem, fires it to Tyler Lockett, and he gets the penalty call, ball at the 1-yard line. And nobody in the damn stadium was surprised. Why would you be? That stuff happens all the time, but not in Dirk Koetter's world. Nope, no play, no play from the 20-yard line. Seattle lined up, threw a pass to tie the game or to get that touchdown that they needed before the 2-point play, and it was dropped in the back of the end zone, so they lost by 8. But man, Koetter is just pushing all the wrong buttons this year, and it really all started in the offseason. We wrote about endlessly, and it's not even worth dredging it up, but the whole status woe thing, the defense was brutal. A lot of red flags on the defense, especially with the secondary coaches. So many red flags, and they kept him, kept everything intact. Koetter can't survive this. He knows it, and I just hope the players, who certainly know it, can rise above and play hard, play consistently. 5 home games, feel some pride. care about the fans, care about the people who are spending money they don't have, who invested in you and believed in you and who are out there to cheer you on. Care about those people. Get that through to these guys, Dirk Cutter. Bring in some fans to practice if you have to. That might be a good idea. Hey, you say you love the energy that the stick carriers and other fans bring in training camp. How about you bring them in the regular season? How about you let these guys know that crappy tackling isn't going to be tolerated and that people are watching? What better way than to do something like that? Bring in a bunch of kids. Bring in a bunch of adults. Let the media watch the whole practice and say, hey, you know what? You guys are loafing. These guys are going to report it. You know, we're going to, you know, I don't know. I mean, but I'd like to see some pride. I'd like to see some energy restored here. And I'd like it to start from the top, which I think part of is why Dirk Cutter really looks lost. And it starts with the leadership on the team as well. I don't know. Crazy stuff. Have some pride here, Bucks. You got half a season. All these guys can prove themselves. Now, as far as on the field and effort, I just don't like the stuff we see every week from Donovan Smith, who doesn't play to the whistle. I've been talking about it, writing about it. It's just the way it is. Doesn't make him a bad player. It just makes him incredibly frustrating, and you wonder what he's going to do with a giant fat contract. This is a contract year, and the guy's putting film out there where he doesn't like to play to the whistle. And what's made this more glaring, and he doesn't do it every play, it's just too often. What's made this more glaring is the signing of Ryan Jensen, who puts everybody to shame when it comes to that. So, I don't know. And now Dirk Cutter today was saying that poor communication on the offensive line, guys, some wrong calls and some this and that. You know, I'm sick of it already. Nobody, they're not mad enough. This team doesn't get mad enough. But it shouldn't even get to this point. So I'm frustrated with all of you fans out there. This is just, we deserve better. We deserve better. We invest the time. We invest the effort. We invest the heart and the soul, the money, and the pride that we put out there when we're telling people that we're Bucks fans. And we get kicked in the groin again. And that's really what yesterday was. Another kick in the groin. A must win. That's how they came out. Look how they came out in Cincinnati. A must win. Jameis crumbled. And the team couldn't get it done. Look how they came out against Cleveland. They came out strong, and then they couldn't put him away. Must win on your home turf. They found a way, freakish way, at the end of that game. It just sucks. That's just the way it is. But at least there's a nationwide lifetime warranty at Bill Curry Ford on pre-owned and new vehicles. Nationwide lifetime warranty. That's not just a joke. It's all at BillCurryFord.com. All the details, the fine print. There's no hook. There's just the details on how it works. And you can get through to them on our website. You at JoeBucksFan.com, click on through to Bill Curry Ford or head over there directly just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway and at BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Bucks fan. He's right there with us, struggling and agonizing. He is going to give you a discount just for saying you listen to this podcast or you are a Bucks fan or that you enjoy JoeBucksFan.com. Special stick carrier discount. You can even say you're a stick carrier. $500 off the pricing you see at BillCurryFord.com, which is already transparent pricing. So it's a tremendous opportunity. We love their support for everything we do. And so great to see all the great things they do in the community, as we mentioned, to start the podcast. Next week's game, I don't know. What do I want to see? I want to see the defensive line show up and play as a unit. How much more time do they need to gel? The Super Bowl rub-off from these three Super Bowl guys isn't there. Vinnie Curry, Bo Allen, JPP, they were back yesterday. What's going on? All three were on the field starting. Vita Vea, man, I don't know. We were told he could pass rush. We were told he could do a lot of things. He deserves more time, but It's not pretty. Chris Hovan, I'm going to write about this on Joe Bucks Fan. Chris Hovan, the ex-Buccaneer, was on Rock Riley's podcast saying that, hey, Vea's not a pass rusher, and that's okay, but stop putting him out there in pass rush situations. It really seemed like Hovan doesn't like the rotation and how the Bucks may not be putting their defensive linemen in the best situations to succeed. I can't argue with him there. The results haven't been there. Gerald McCoy, how injured are you? I don't know. He really didn't look special yesterday coming back from a couple of games out. Same thing for Vinnie Curry. What's going on? Will Golston? Where is the 2016 Will Golston? This guy's not an old man. He's gone next year. Too expensive. It's just, Nassib, he's playing over his head in the sense that he's produced more than they thought for a guy off the street, but he's not a special player. This is not the guy you want starting out there. Not that he's starting, but you know what I'm saying. I want this D-line to show up. Earlier in the season, the run defense was tight. I understand part of that was Kwon, but they got to tighten up. Make it the secondary's fault that this team is failing, not the defensive line. Lots to figure out. Lots of pride to be put on display, but all eyes really right now on Team Glazer. And we're not going to see him, but that's where all eyes are going to be. They need to have this whole replace the coach thing in motion this week to make sure they get the very best guy possible in the NFC South that could very well look the exact same way for the next 3 years. Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, they're not going anywhere. Drew Brees might not go anywhere. And those are good coaches in the NFC South. Top flight coaches. Dan Quinn's never had a losing season, and he's got them straightened out now at 4-4. Despite a ton of injuries, I don't think the Falcons are going anywhere, but lots to do here, lots of homework for Team Glazer. It's November 5th. We will see you on November 12th. Many thanks to Discount Garage Doors and Bill Curry Ford. Catch all the podcasts on JoeBucksFan.com. Subscribe to this one, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, wherever else you're getting it. And we're going to keep grinding for you on JoeBucksFan.com. I still take a lot of pride in saying nobody grinds like we do because we care. Because, frankly, we care as much as you do. I'm not going to say I care more than you do. That's Dirk Cutter's job, the guy who went out there and said the coaches take the losses 200 times harder than the fans. I don't think so, Dirk. I don't think so. And you know what? When you're wearing another team sweatshirt next year, I certainly won't think so. Thanks for listening. See you next week.